I'm waiting.
Hi, everybody.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh my god. That scared me. Somebody slamming the door or something.
Anyway, I was just wetting my whistle to begin with, you know, before Kevin decided to blurt out whatever foghorn noises he likes to make whenever he wants attention.
I was excited to see how long that silence would go when I hit the record button.
Sometimes it's fun.
For those of just turning in, four of us are recognizable and one of us is a baby face.
Yeah, something happened there, Terrence.
Yeah, like a hideous baby Sharpay. It's disgusting.
Happy anniversary, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, that was a couple days ago. Yeah.
Was it a happy anniversary?
Yeah, well, it was fun. We have a happy anniversary.
You look 10 years younger.
I went down on him so long my beard fell off. Oh, okay. Good times then.
I mean, today had its sadnesses. We lost Richard Roundtree, Shaft.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw that.
Bummer.
Was he in anything since the last Shaft movie?
Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff.
I mean, since, like, there was the one, it was him, Samuel Jackson, and the new youngest Shaft.
They did the three generations of Shaft.
It was good, though.
You know. Which is weird. I'm pretty sure he has. Like, he kept acting. Like, he'd just show up as, like, a supporting player in a lot of things.
Yeah, he probably made his rounds on all the crime shows and detective dramas.
That is true. I think he was in Speed Racer, too, wasn't he?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't remember.
I tried to block seeing that movie out of my mind.
I like that movie. I think it's fun.
It was good. It was just like fun, good time.
It's just like a thoughtless good time. I liked it.
I actually went to see it in theaters a couple times. It was cool. I had a good time.
I didn't put these in order, but it looks like he did have a movie or two after that last Shaft movie. Haunting of Mary Celeste, some kind of boat horror movie.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I do love a good boat horror movie.
Yeah, it looks like this. They just stole the cover art from Ghost Ship and put a different title underneath it. But, you know.
Well, there's only so much you could do with Photoshop in the front of a ship.
Yeah. I was going to say, if he went out and his last movie was the 2019 Shaft movie, he went on a good note. I enjoyed that Shaft movie. It was a lot of fun.
All right. So, welcome, everybody, to part two of our playtest sessions for the, I guess we're just going to call it UFO for now.
Hey, that was the name. That was the running name. You gave it.
Yeah. Ah. It's okay. So,
with the bash system, which is also something you've created,
mostly
work in progress.
Whip. You've got the most bizarre face going, Matt. There, it's like just fucking look like someone hit you with a stick.
Sorry, all right, I was reading something. It's all right.
No. When last we left off, our characters, who, let's refresh ourselves on who we are. Let's see. We got Niels Fletcher, Joe Bob Brunson, Malcolm Dice, and the mysterious...
Today it's Jacqueline.
Jacqueline.
Yeah, it's on her little thing right there says it.
All her right, little talky square says Jacqueline.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not looking. I'm not looking at
it. And this little guy is PJ.
Which we've all just decided to not focus on it. Just let it out.
Politely turned away from.
All right.
It's like
it's not a bother.
So
definitely think Neil's just feeling like this is a weird dream that he's probably gonna wake up from at some point.
I feel like that every day.
After getting a brief rundown of what your of what you'll be doing for the Bradford Volkov Group Investigative Division, you are all given basically a converted room at the Space Saver Self Storage.
Awesome.
Or
hope I get a 10x10. Can I have a 10x10?
No. Like basically, they took a big swath out of it, ripped it out, made little apartments out of it.
Ah, okay. I thought it was gonna be like more like container rooms.
No, just like a little 2-room suite for each of you.
That's cool.
And a couple of other extras, you see. Your new boss, Felix, told you guys to, you know, settle in, hit the hay, and then you can head out on your first job the next day. And when the next day rolls around, you are met with his personal secretary in the breakfast area. They have like a kitchenette where you see hot coffee and donuts and whatnot have been delivered for you. Tina Ferguson is going over. Looks like an iPad that she has whenever you guys get in here and all gather together. And she says, "All right, so did you folks decide on your method of travel?"
I was going to take my van.
All right. Are y'all riding with her?
He says there's enough room. Haven't laid eyes on the van yet.
I mean, there's only 2 seat belts, but everybody'll fit.
Yeah, I don't think Niels is gonna ride in for 8 or 9 hours in the back of a van. When they're gonna pay for us to take more accommodating travel.
Well, we have.
Yeah, let's. You said you're offering a rental.
Well, not so much a rental. We have a company car you can use.
Oh, very well. Even better.
I was under the impression there could be a car waiting for us if no matter where if we took a plane or a train or whatever, there'd be a company car waiting for us when we got there.
Generally, we just do rentals and have people deliver them. We're not that big of an operation where we can have feet on the ground everywhere. Otherwise, we wouldn't need you. So
I have no problem driving myself. If anyone wants to ride along,
I'm fine with that. I think we can. If we take the rental, we can caravan it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll ride with Jacqueline.
Okay, you're gonna have the other seatbelt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, the other one's for PJ, so.
Yeah, so we'll say PJ doesn't.
You get to ride the back of the.
I'll follow you, my truck.
Sure, your truck can make it up there?
Yeah, probably not. I'm riding with somebody and I'm going to smoke and drink, and they're just, you know, that's going to happen.
Right. Yeah, I don't care about that. You can ride with us.
Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, we don't
fuck just no cigarette burns in the company car, please.
Well, it's a rental.
Yeah, I'll stretch on the back and let Mal and Niels take lead, and Jacqueline can either lead or follow in her van.
It's not a rental, as a matter of fact. We own it. Here you go. She puts the keys down. It's a 2023 Toyota Corolla. I hope you enjoy that.
It'll blend right in anywhere in America.
Are the windows at least tinted?
Yes.
Niels immediately pops the trunk and checks the spare tire with the little tire pressure gauge he has in his pocket. Just because.
Fucking Joe Bob walks up next to you and tosses in it's a gym bag that you got from Marlboro back in the 90s for saving up enough of those. That's his suitcase, and he just chunks it in on top of the spare tire. It just gets in the back and lays down.
And so if I had a friend, his dad had like a shoebox, and it was just
Marlboro Miles.
Like It was like a million Marlboro miles. Yeah, it was just like, I don't know what he was saving up for, like a Corvette or something, but it was ridiculous.
They used to have
Yeah, if you saved up a lot or smoked a lot, there was some really good stuff at the higher end.
Mm. It helps you, and then you could sell it later to help pay for your cancer.
Mahogany, you know those blue mugs that I've got, I think I've still got. Mm. It's exactly big enough to hold like a Campbell's soup can worth of. Mm. Like you just, that was from Marlboro Company.
Really?
Yeah, like from the late 90s. I've had them that long.
See,
I never used
it. We need to bring that stuff back.
Well, it promoted cancer. That's let's not shoehorn around it.
Well, I mean, you can't, nothing's perfect.
Hey, let's put it on our what could get ice cream for every tub of ice cream you get.
That's
Kool Aid.
Yeah, I was thinking about Kool-Aid points. Yeah, I'm like, is Kool-Aid new points still?
I got a exclusive Darth Vader action figure with, I'm pretty sure, Kool-Aid points.
Nice. Bet you didn't.
I didn't ever get Kool-Aid points because my mom would buy those knockoff Kool-Aid packs.
The Weilers?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I didn't have points.
No. The point was is you save 50 cents. So
save 50 cents, and then she would only put a half a cup of sugar in it instead of the 2 cups it was supposed to get.
I was like, Kool-Aid is 20 cents. We're buying these 10 cent packs.
I mean, I used to just have plastic baggies full of scoops of that Country Time lemonade mix. It already had, it was like already sweet. That stuff was just, I would just walk around with a bag of it at school. Dip my finger in it. So I'd always have like one big finger.
I was on swim team and we would do the same thing with Jell-O. Just a packet of Jell-O and stick your finger in it, and you'd walk around with a green finger or a blue finger.
But still sticky to this day.
Like, I don't know. That feels weird. That feels like that would turn into like cement.
It's, you've got no room to talk about sugar.
But it's not just sugar; it's also gelatin.
Yeah,
there's so little. It takes so little gelatin to make it turn into Jell-O.
It's still in there, Kevin.
That's what I'm saying. It's in there. So you just like make it.
It was like a fun dip, much in there.
You're just drinking citric acid, sugar, and horse bones.
Mm. Delicious marrow.
Yay. Comment below on what you got with your Kool-Aid points and Marlboro miles.
I got my Kool-Aid points stolen by a cousin. That's what I
mean. Oh, that bastard.
Cousins. What are you going to do?
I know which one you mean, too. I don't.
At any rate, after she passes off the keys to you, she says it's the black one out here in the parking lot. She also brings out an envelope and slides it across the tables with each of your names on it. She's like, it's a sort of a... like a mid-sized manila envelope. They feel kind of weighty when you pick them up, and she's like, inside is your first week's pay and a company smartphone.
All right.
I hope you're okay with Android.
But yeah, I guess. I didn't expect much more of the Corolla, so
I assume each other's numbers are programmed in.
Whatever number you gave us, yes, plus the number here. My number and Mr. Halloway's number. Also,
my mom's.
Also, Gunther's number if you need him. Gunther, who you have not met yet, was
briefly
glossed over him during the the main interview process, and he was listed as the tech support / mechanic here.
Mm. Oh my god, that's so weird.
What?
His last name, I just like a client I just signed today, his last name is Jaworski. That's weird.
Anyway. She says, all right, and here is where you need to go. She passes off, she writes down a couple of addresses and names on two separate sheets, since you have two different vehicles going. Slides them across to the tables. And on the sheets, you see that you are going to be looking for in the town of in the city, excuse me, of Montpelier, Vermont. You are going to a place called the Quinville House, and going to make contact with a man named Griffin Salisbury. And I talked to Mr. Salisbury early this morning. He's going to expect you tomorrow. So if you want to get them out Montpelier, get a hotel room, or whatever you want to do with the rest of your day, he'll be waiting for you at the Quinville House tomorrow morning. Yes. Any questions?
Is there any way to go ahead and get a room now? Can the company rent us a couple rooms?
All right,
I can. We just have to check in that with minimal contact at the desk.
I can arrange that if you really want me to. I figured you were big boys. Oh well, fine. Yes, I will arrange. I'll arrange some a stay. Anything else?
Snacks of the road.
Yeah, Mal, do you need a foot rub while we're at it, or?
I just figured in case something came up where we might be.
You just didn't want to get stuck with a hotel bill.
What was your question, Matt?
All fruit snacks.
He just asked for snacks.
Yeah,
that was.
Let me direct your attention to an advance on your pay in the envelope there. Any other further questions?
All right, now we're good.
All right. Have a safe trip.
Hey, you too.
All right.
So we're staying at this compound tonight, then leaving in the morning?
No, this is the morning.
This is the morning. Okay.
Yeah, we've had a nice restful sleep. I'm throwing my duffel in the back. And,
let's make way towards Vermont, right?
Yes, Vermont.
Yay.
Sounds exciting.
The
is it fall is in it? Vermont?
It is fall. It
yeah,
is
are there going to be leafers all over the place?
Yep. Your drive up is a pretty one. You don't have any issues. Other than the occasional traffic slowdown.
Mm.
It's not a weekend or anything, and you guys are getting an early start once you're out of Baltimore. Traffic flows smoothly most of the way up. You guys are on long tracks of interstate that lead through New England. And once you get out of the kind of gloomy coastal areas and further into the hills, you can see that the trees are doing their glorious, gorgeous, color-changing routine. Everything here is a very peak fall. And the trip takes y'all... Oops, there you go. You make it there in 8 hours, 45 minutes when you're pulling into the city of Montpelier. By this time, it is about 5 p.m., give or take. And you all receive text messages on the way about where you'll be staying. That's right. At the luxurious Super 8 Motel on the edge of Montpelier.
Well, I've been here before. This one's fancy.
You've been here before?
Yeah,
I feel sorry for you.
This is probably a good time to let you know that here people know me as Christina Smith. So today... It's Christina, okay?
I got you, Christina. Yeah.
probably just going to say, hey, you, and
I probably won't respond to any name you call me unless I'm actually looking at you and watching you say it. So it doesn't really matter. But if you could just try, Christina, that's what my identification says in this for this part of the country. Yeah.
Does your he points to where you keep your pocket puppy. Does that one's name change too?
Oh, no. He's always PJ. And I've changed into, instead of cargo shorts, I have like a long cargo skirt with cargo pockets and a cable knit sweater. And underneath it, you see, I'm still wearing the fishing vest with all the pockets in there. Just stuff full of things.
Right.
All right. Prepared.
Those of you who came up from the south might find your clothing a little bit inadequate. It's pretty chilly at nighttime here.
But, obviously cold, but too stubborn to say anything about it.
I'm pulling on a windbreaker. Members only.
Yeah, definitely throwing on a hoodie.
I'm drinking more. It'll warm me up.
Ah, yes. The magic power of booze to warm your body.
The I've hunter's summoned death.
A pumpkin spice latte out of thin air. Because it just feels right.
Tis the season.
When you drove through Montpelier to get to the motel at the edge of town, you can see this is a very pumpkin spice latte kind of place. It is a quaint old place. It is the state capital. Though if it looks like there's more than 10,000 people that live here, you'd be very surprised. And there are lots of trendy little night spots. You can see that it has a sort of a thriving kind of art scene going. They've set up for the fall holidays. So there's a whole lot of decor to that end everywhere. The holiday in this case is Halloween. So there's a lot of, you know, kind of spooky bric-a-brac decorating all the shops and the city square and things like that. Your motel, however, is creepy in a different way.
Staying like psycho creepy?
All right. Well, I got the message. Book your own room.
It seems clean enough. There is sort of a musty kind of disused smell, and it doesn't look like they've booked a lot of people for this time of year. The bored looking 20-something at the desk that checks you in says, let's see, two rooms. He passes you two sets of keys, two double beds.
I take one.
I take the other.
All right. Well, you have a good night. If you need anything, call. But yes, basically, you guys get two rooms with two beds, so you get to decide who you're partnering up with for the evening, or sleeping in the cars, or whatever you're doing. But at least one thing, the kind of musty rooms have that the cars and the outside doesn't is heating.
Very nice. Well, I'll go and claim the bed further away from the door in the first room.
I'll do the same thing in the second room.
All right.
Let them sort it out.
One of us is going to have to sleep with PJ.
I mean, he's pretty quiet at nighttime. He gets all tuckered out. Running around.
Your dog, your bed. I'm taking the other bed.
Yeah. All right, I'll be with Mal. Yeah.
All right, so let's see.
Put our shit down and find some food. That's not from a gas station.
They have, of course, the hotel snack machines and you can, of course, Uber or Uber Eats or DoorDash or whatever.
No fast food around.
It's fast food. Yeah, you can just hop in the car and hit like a McDonald's or whatnot.
Yeah, I'm just gonna do some fast food. I guess. Just got
paid. Why don't we go to a restaurant? Real food.
It's true. You have been in a car 8 hours eating nothing but crap.
Niels will go along with it. He's not a big fan of eating in public, but I mean, he's trying to.
I mean, we can order takeout. Let's order takeout from a real place.
There we go. That sounds better.
All right. You put in your orders. You get some pretty good fare delivered, kind of cold, because it's cold. And you're guessing there was not a huge rush for people to take that particular delivery job here on the edge of town at the Dirty Hotel. But
at the after, Dirty Hotel? So well, you know,
just said. The Dirty Motel. The night passes uneventfully. Did anyone set a wake-up call or anything?
Nope, I wake up with the sun.
All right. According to your note that Tina gave you, you are to meet Mr. Salisbury there at 10 p.m. at... Oh, sorry, shit. It's my base. At the Quinville House.
How far away is the house from where we are?
You check your maps and you see that it is basically in the hills overlooking the town. There's like a few narrow roads that go up into the hills that overlook Montpelier. And this address happens to be on one of them. From the motel you're at, it looks like maybe a 20-minute drive.
All right. So we'll try to... Hills will try to encourage everybody to leave about 9:15.
Yeah, I'm in full compliance with that.
There is a continental breakfast available for
me. Yeah, grab a couple donuts and a thing of milk and...
Oh, and it has one of those waffle irons.
Waffle makers? Yes. Yes, it
does. Hell yeah.
Yeah, waffles today.
Sounds good.
I like waffles. Slightly
yeah, gummy. Waffles don't go good with driving.
I mean, you don't have to put syrup on them. You just eat. Yeah. You just run on the waffle. That's how I eat them anyway.
You put the syrup in your mouth and then you take bites of the waffle.
Too sweet.
Take a bite of the waffle, drink some syrup.
Switch it around. Going to have a bagel on four, like four bagels, one on each finger, and then two waffles in the other hand, and some Stacked juice. Stuffed in pockets. She's really
You're not the only guests here. You see that there's an elderly couple, one woman like making herself some waffles and having like some slices of apple or an orange. And you see the older gentleman there has basically a bagel and a koozie that you'd probably has a natty light sticking out of it.
Hey. Hey, Joe Bob, that's your milk over there. They give each other the knowing nod.
The old people nod. But after you
Make get the your koozie beard tilt.
After you get your breakfast and head out towards the Quinville place. You drive through the town. It's a little bit busier. You're guessing that most everybody who works here in town probably drives into it. So actually the population swells during the day. And you can see that in the daylight, the state house looks nice. It's like I said, it's a really, really nice town. Great place to live. Wonderful place to retire. Beautiful. Until you get to the roads that heads toward your destination. And when you get to the roads that head up out of the town proper and into the hills, the roads take on like a less good houses, kind of shabby houses, but not that are sparse. And then you see a few shoddy trailers. And then finally, when you get to the top of the hill and the road you're heading down, you see just a narrow sign that you almost miss with a little driveway that's hiding a very large wrought iron gate, which is propped open. And on the gate is the basically the letter Q on either side of the gate arms. And when looking through the trees, you can see there is indeed a pretty sizable house at the far end of this uphill driveway. As you turn up there, as you turn up there, you see that there are three cars there already, or rather two cars and another van.
Is that what we were expecting? A lot of people to be here, or just one person?
You were just expecting one person to be here.
What are the plates on the other cars?
The plates of the cars are New York plates.
All of them?
No. There's one Vermont, and the van and a much nicer looking car is a New York plate.
So definitely not our organization if it's a nice car. I think we should kind of park away from a little bit and then kind of slowly walk up and try to scope out the situation a little bit. Roaring up into the with our Corolla.
All right, you pull up with your Corolla and did you all come in the Corolla or did you take your van? Shit.
What's your name? Today is Christina. I will take a passenger seat in the Corolla.
I was going to say, is the car registered to or the van registered to Christina?
Oh, you will have noticed that somehow Christina has Vermont plates on the car.
By morning.
Maybe we should roll up here in the van and if you've got local plates, like from the hotel.
I mean, I'd be fine riding the van for 20 minutes. I just didn't want to do that for 8 or 9 hours.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I just agree. In case
there's...
Okay, back that, reverse it, pulling up in the van.
I didn't know you had that superpower, Christina. It's very impressive.
There's a lot of stuff in this van, okay? Been places.
Oh, are we, am I, do you have a beanbag in your van by chance?
There's definitely a beanbag in there.
Yeah, it feels like something you have to have in a van.
It feels like definitely. A beanbag.
Maybe the side of the van's got a cool wizard on it.
Casting a spell on a mountain.
Unicorn fighting Darth Vader.
But the Darth Vader has big tits.
There's a lightning bolt going across the moon. Cool.
No. I want to drive a van like that.
I really thing. I said, okay, yes. Cool.
I'm just picturing a unicorn with huge beefy Conan arms holding a
sword. Maybe that could be our show. We could get just covered in all of our artwork. Look cooler.
Can we have a hand painted wolf on the back, like on the back tire howling?
Yeah, hand painted swarm of wolves.
Swarm. Two of them.
It's a wolf swarm. Two.
No, it's on every tire, it's a swarm of wolves.
I don't like your idea, Kevin. Hate it. Scrap the whole thing.
All right. So
we park a little ways down and head up.
So you guys pull up and off to the side, a good ways away. It gives you plenty of time to walk across the driveway and eavesdrop. The place seems freshly redone, at least the driveway or parking area does. It's got like a nice layer of new gravel over it. And you can hear voices up towards the front of the house talking. One's talking in sort of a low tone, and you can't understand what they're saying. And the other one says, "We drove all this way. Come on, you can't keep us out. We have a contract." And you, as you get closer, you can see that there is just a sort of a small mob of people facing down the guy with like hipster glasses and a top knot and a lot of piercings, and he's wearing like a fairly stylish jacket, boots and jeans, and he's like,
"I hate him."
He's like, and you can, once you're finally able to hear him, he's like, listen, I've got a lot of things to do. I know you came this way, and I will get back to you as soon as I possibly can. But I will get to you whenever I can. Remember, I own this house. You don't own it yet. Me, I own it. Now that you're closer, you can see that there is a logo on the van. And it says, The Merry Flippers. And it's like the words, The Merry, M-E-R-R-Y, Flippers. But the M-E-R-R-Y is scratched out with the word M-A-R-Y written over it. And you can see that everybody here has a sort of a, like sort of milling about. Most of them are young, except for the person arguing with the hipster-looking dude. And when the hipster-looking dude sees you approach, he raises his voice finally and says, "Hey, are you with Bradford Volkov?"
Yep,
we are. Yeah.
Oh, good. He turns to his aggressive guests and says, "Listen.
Are you Dinosaur Steak Knife?"
He looks at you for a moment. Huh? Oh, Griffin Salisbury.
Griffin Salisbury.
Oh.
The people in the Merry Flippers van, five of them all in total, one nicely dressed nicely dressed woman, and a bunch of other like 20-somethings that seem to be following her around. He gives them the polite brush off. He's like, "I'm so sorry. Let's get together for lunch later on, late lunch, say 1 o'clock, and we'll work all this out." And he basically ushers them to their car. They grumoodily pull away, and he waits for them to completely leave before turning to you. He's like, "I'm so happy you're here."
Were we interrupting something?
Yeah, I can tell you about it inside if you want. It's a little nippy this morning. My wife's in there making coffee. And he basically brings you up onto the house itself is a 3-story affair, sort of a large Victorian family home. Not a mansion, but A lot of space. A lot of it. It has a big wide veranda. You can see that there is a 2-car garage off to the side that seems to be a late addition. It's got a 3-story kind of tower, each floor having windows that face out. And as he ushers you up and he stops the door and says, "Welcome, my guests from Bradford Volkov Group, whose names are..."
"I'm Niels."
"Unimportant."
"Niels."
"He Joe points Bob." "To
Joe Bob."
"Christina."
"Christina." He points back at you, Malcolm.
"Val."
"There you go. Come on in." He opens the door wide and gestures kind of theatrically, like he's doing it purposefully to be seen. "Come in. Guests," he says pointedly. You hear the house isn't much warmer. Like, it's obviously no one lives here. It's just been like mildly remodeled on a couple of rooms. You're directly across from the kitchen. And you can see a pretty young woman that kind of has that same kind of personal aesthetic going, you know, tats. She's got short, dyed hair. And she's kind of looks more like an art student than a homemaker. But she is preparing a bunch of cups of coffee and says, "Come on in, come in." He saddles up. "This is my wife, Perry.
Nice to meet you."
She nods. You need me here? I don't like it here. He's like, you can wait for me in the car, honey. He kisses her and she makes a hasty retreat after putting your coffees in front of you. And he said, pulls up a stool at the island there where the coffees are being served and says, all right, let's talk. My name is Griffin Salisbury. I am a direct descendant of Amicus Quinville, the man who built this house. He apparently was some sort of Fruit Loop who was into the occult. Before that, he was a marble and slate baron. But, you know, he's just one of those 19th century guys that got into all the weird shit.
Okay.
And then he died horribly at a brothel. So he's unimportant to this, I think, other than, you know, having designed this place and putting a lot of money into a very expensive occult library, so I hear. I can't actually get in there. And apparently your Mr. He begins digging around for a little notebook in his pockets. It's Holloway. I'd been bothering my great-grandmother Pamela Quinville, who died 2 years ago, about a certain book he had for a long time. And then he got a hold of me, and when I told him to, when I almost told him to fuck off, because this place is extremely frustrating, he says that you people can make these problems go away. Now, I don't believe in a lot of that mumbo jumbo, but I've seen a lot of weird shit here. And as you know, my wife obviously does not want to stay in here. Otherwise, you know, we'd have a really nice, almost palatial place. It came with a lot of money, plenty to fix it up. But this place is like a tax millstone around my neck.
Okay.
So he said you guys would come here, you'd investigate, you'd get rid of whatever the fuck the problem is, and I will show you some of the problem in a moment. And then he can have his pick of the litter on all those stupid occult books. I want him out of here because I have been kind of strong-armed by a TV show. I don't know if you've heard of the Mary Flippers.
Mm. We saw the man.
Does anybody watch the Home Design Channel?
Absolutely not.
Apparently, there's like a billion of these shows. The Mary Flippers stars a pair of best friends who are both named Mary.
Oh, that's not clever.
That is not clever. But that is what I'm contending with today. I'm supposed to meet with the Marys and placate them. I told them this place would be ready to go probably a month ago, thinking that it would be, you know, whatever the problem was just some stupid bullshit local legend. Like, all the local legends here are bullshit. Or at least I thought they were. But anyway, anything else you need to know before I go? I continue.
Before you continue?
Before I continue. Do you have any immediate questions? All right. Follow me. He grabs his coffee and he moves quickly through the building. When you came in the foyer, you passed a couple of staircases before you entered the kitchen. He moves into a rather large breakfast area. It's like a big dining room table, and he's like begins like looking around. He's like, no. And he turns back around, heads back to the kitchen the other way. You can clear he's not very familiar with the house. He only has like a basic idea of the layout. Until you go past the kitchen, he's like, here, the laundry room. And it's a really big fucking laundry room. And you see there's old clothes hanging up, old linens that have been gathering dust. But you also see that laid up in a rather new trash bag, which he begins to tear open. He's like, this is what I've found so far moving around the house. And he just pours out a bunch of stuff on the floor and begins kind of separating it out.
Anyone die here?
Huh?
I mean, Niels would just ask as we're walking, just if anyone's died in the house.
No, I mean, as far as I know, only my great grandmother Pamela. She died on the second floor, third floor. Shoot, where did she die? Yeah, it was the third floor. She was in the sitting room up there.
Of natural causes?
Yeah, 92. Let's hope. We didn't even know she was dead. In fact, to be honest with you, I didn't know she was alive until I found out she was dead. So she wasn't in really good condition. I don't know if you caught a whiff of it whenever you came in. And you kind of, once he mentions it, you do smell a lot of cat odor here in the mansion, in the house. The house was shut up tight, and she died around a bunch of cats who do not know how to operate can openers or doorknobs. So,
oh no,
yeah.
Are those foul beasts gone?
Mostly. I think most of them were destroyed by the SPCA when they came through. Couple of them might have got away, probably living in the woods, you know, preying on whatever, birds, field mice. Good on them. Hope they have a nice life. Anyway, my life is kind of a hell. He points to the stuff on the ground. He picks up one item that looks like a ski mask. Like, found this near the downstairs veranda, the back door veranda. Along with that, what do you call those things there? He's pointing to a crowbar on the ground. He's like a tool. and a pretty nice pair of Nikes. I kind of sold those online. Sorry. They were rare. He points to another pile. He says, this is a cheerleading outfit and a Letterman jacket. The underwear I threw away, but found these in the second floor study, or the second floor, second one of the second floor bedrooms. That's right. Let's see, what was it? He was digging through more stuff. Pulled out a really rank smelling jacket. He's like, found this in the garage next to like three empty whiskey bottles. Mm-hmm. I'm showing you a bunch of clothes here, but you'll know, make a notice mixed in. There's a lot of socks, underwear, stuff. Whole outfits here. Just abandoned.
They were just like laying in the floor, or like they had been on someone at some point, or like they were laid out like they would go on somebody?
The one that was most person-shaped was the, I guess, hobo stuff.
So this isn't like stuff that was left behind after like random parties or whatever that were had here?
There hasn't been a party here since the 80s. I can guarantee you that. My great grandmother was a shut in.
Did the house spend any time unoccupied?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. They found grandma 3 years. Let's see. Yeah. 3 years ago. She had been dead for quite a while when they did. Then there was like a year of probate. And then I've had it for 2 years, and it's been like draining my finances trying to move it and paying the taxes on this ridiculous, ridiculous house.
And these clothings became... You became aware of these clothings when?
On each occasion, I found them. I didn't find them all at once. Over the last 2 years, I just occasionally come in here, stumble across some clothes, and maybe some signs of forced entry.
So people are breaking in here and taking off their clothes and disappearing?
Yeah, unless they're breaking in here, stripping naked and running away, something weird is going on here.
Anybody around the
people breaking in here, stripping naked and running away would be something weird.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
Did when you found these clothes, did it correspond to any kind of missing persons or anything possible in the area?
He's like, he pulls his glasses off. And he's like, listen, I think I'm trying to sell this house, and so I've studiously avoided local news for a very long time. Maybe there's been some descriptions of some missing teens, but you know. How are you going to tell whether clothes belong to an adult or a teen? His side eyes like the cheerleading uniform. Really? It could have been Halloween costumes for all I know.
Did you find it at Halloween?
It was March.
Easter week.
Is it the local school's uniform by chance?
Given that you probably don't know that, but it could be. Yeah, definitely. At least a nearby town or this local town. If you're asking him, he says, yeah, two towns over.
Mr. Salisbury, do you have you stayed here overnight on occasions?
Oh, you're serious? No, I've never stayed here overnight.
Ever been here at dark? I mean, have you ever been here when it's nighttime?
Yeah, you know, I mean, sometimes you get stuck here. It gets dark early this time of year, and I was trying to at least get the kitchen working so I can show it to somebody. That's why I got these merry ladies to look at the place, and I might have fed them some local legends stuff, you know. Like, it might make good TV. It's a chance to sell it, and, you know, selling it is my priority.
No strange, like, flashing lights or?
No, nothing like that. Well, okay. There is item number two. And he walks out of the laundry room and back around through the kitchen and up to the stairs. And he begins trudging up the stairs. You also see that there is a... nestled amongst the stairs is an elevator. He's like, don't bother, it doesn't work. As he begins to trudge up.
I'll be the judge of that. I get in.
It doesn't work.
All right. Judge, jury, and executioner. It doesn't work.
He trudges past the second floor and to the third floor. Before you see basically a very wide open room that has like a billiards table, darts. You see like a lot of things from a lot of different eras here. You see a radio from the 1940s. You see like a hi-fi set from the 1970s. You see some big projection screen TV in a viewing nook from the 80s over in one corner. A billiard table, of course, that looks incredibly antique. And he's like, this is the game room, and on that wall there is the door to the library. If you'd like to go ahead and give it a go.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'll walk over and open it.
Whenever you put your hands on the doorknob, I need you to... I need you to make me a heart save, which is a heart check, excuse me.
Who's grabbing it? You grabbing it, Christina?
You just said you were. Don't lie.
You're trying to.
Yep, I checked. I still have a heart.
All right. I rolled an 18 plus 2 on my heart, so that's 20.
All right.
Am I supposed to be under 15? I need to be 15 over 15. Or over. 15. Well, I did it. I made it.
All right. You grab the doorknob and you feel a jolt shoot up your arm. You are able to stay conscious despite the fact that nothing even remotely gives. It doesn't turn even a little. It's like you're trying to turn a piece of concrete that's also electrified. You pull your arm away and it feels numb.
I'll shake my hand and be like, and look at him like, what the fuck? Little warning.
I don't know how to describe it if you haven't felt it.
I want to try.
Surprise, you're still standing.
Yeah, it hurts. It's not a good feeling.
Are you gonna try?
I assume this is the room you haven't been able to get in?
Yep. And he stops for a moment and he puts his fingers to his lips. He's like, and you can hear the sound of like a rocking chair rocking from down the hall. He's like, don't go bother to look. It's never moving when you get there.
Not bother to go look.
You go to bother to go look.
I don't trust this guy. Elevator's broke. I'll be the judge of that.
You move past the bathroom into a large guest bedroom that has a sitting area that looks out over the woods behind the house. You see a lot of stuff here is like extremely clean. Like there is like the carpet has been shampooed, the walls have been washed, but the place still has a slight stink of decay to it. You're guessing these carpets are going to have to come up entirely to get rid of it. This is obviously where the old lady died, because despite all the shampooing, they really couldn't get that weird maroon stain from the blood that seeped under the rocking chair rockers.
Can I use this as a flashback and divulge more of my weird backstory?
Sure.
So when he gets that smell, he just has a memory of after the incident, going to the Willismith farm, who was one of the victims of a car crash that was had its own kind of weird twist to it. But he just flashbacks real quick to the front door being already kind of open and him being nervous because of the accident he just witnessed. So he's pulling his gun and he pushes the door open and he can see the body in the kitchen across the doorway, and a trail of blood from the kitchen to the stairs that are right at the base of the door. So as soon as you open the front door, there's the stairs that go up. But halfway up the stairs, the blood, it goes from blood to like this milky blue-white substance. And then there's this humanoid corpse draped across the staircase with two terrible wounds in it. And as his eyes go further up the staircase, he sees a young boy who couldn't be any more than 12, but he just sees the silhouette of him and shakily holding, like his body's shaking and he's holding the shotgun, but his head is perfectly still. And the eyes are slightly mirrored. He thinks it's a trick of the light, but later he thinks there's more to it. And that just kind of flashes through his head when he hits that, you know, smells bring a memory. Like that's the memory he gets from that smell you've described in this room.
All right. Mm. Yeah. Your mind is drawn back to, one of the most horrible experiences of your life, but maybe the experience that ruined it for a moment. And whenever you open your eyes again and come out of that reverie, you see a cat bolting out of a nearby linen closet and head toward downstairs.
I'm going to be nosy in this room while they're fucking with that door.
All right. Meanwhile, back at the door, was somebody else going to the fuck with it?
Yeah, I was going to try.
All right.
Touch it.
All right. You touch it, give me a heart save.
Is this something that I can use my untamed mind thing?
Yes.
Cool. So I'm going to, but what is my, this is my occult action die. What is that?
Your action die, let's see.
It's one of the three, right?
One of the three dice you're supposed to assign.
Oh, okay, occult was D6.
All right. So, cool. Yeah.
So I'm gonna do that. And that makes it 17 total.
All right. You touch the thing and you feel the same thing I described earlier. Like it's sort of like something trying to make you black out and feel the jolt of numbness up your arm. However, to you, this does not seem real specifically. Like, you are feeling everything as if you were, it wants you to feel it. You, but you're able to stay awake and kind of see through it. You see the knob giving just a little bit as you turn it, but you can't hold on to it for too long as it continues to try to attack.
Ooh. I'll release it and step back, just kind of staring at it, thinking, how can I get around this?
Salisbury says, well, I tried a step ladder on the windows upstairs, but I couldn't open them, couldn't even break them.
Did you touch the doorknob with something else?
Yeah, but it doesn't move.
But it does move.
If you say so, I haven't been able to get it to budge.
Niels will pull out a, I can't think what the name of it is, but it's just basically like a, it looks like a, it's like one of those things that electricians use to check the voltage on something.
A tachometer or something?
Something like that, yeah. I can't remember what it's called.
A voltage
anyway.
Meter, I think.
I just wanted to see if, because it felt similar to, it wasn't exactly like that, but it felt like a very unusual kind of a, almost like a shock to him a little bit. So he just wanted to check to see if it's electricity.
All right. You touch the voltage meter to it, and it does not register anything abnormal that a piece of metal would.
Okay. And Neil's kind of used stuff like that to kind of eliminate, because he's followed up on some hoaxes in his years of research and, you know, things that are trying to be pushed off as supernatural that are really just very natural. So rule that out.
He's like, to be honest with you, those two things are the most you're going to get out of this place in the daytime. Like, obviously something weird here happens at night.
Could we try and knock the knob off?
Well, I'd rather you not knock a 150-year-old doorknob off the knocker. But, you know,
are the screws exposed? I just...
They are.
...screw it and take the knob off?
The hinges are exposed? Never mind. Yeah.
Oh, no, I was just talking about the screws on the doorknob. To take that off.
Two good questions. Hinges and screws, are either one on our side of the door?
And if I touch it with a screwdriver, is it going to give me the same reaction?
You touch it with a screwdriver, nothing happens. It's just an object touching an object.
Where was that crowbar at earlier?
That crowbar was downstairs in the washroom. Mm-hmm. Laundry.
I mean, I'm not there, so I remember a crowbar coming up.
All right. Salisbury says, so are you guys formally going to begin your, he looks around, investigation or whatever?
I mean, I feel like we already have. I feel like
we already have.
You've certainly piqued our interest, and we apparently dive in both feet.
All right. Great. I'm going to leave my number on the counter if you need me to come back for any reason.
While he's doing that, Niels pulls out another thing from his little bag that's like a, looks like a really odd three-prong tuning fork, and kind of taps that on the doorknob and then holds it close to it so the sound waves are kind of reverberating off of it.
All right.
No he's explanation, just does that.
Salisbury looks at y'all and like he gets a kind of a facial expression, like he's kind of regretting this, but he's like, I've got to go have a meeting with the Marys, and my wife is probably hot to go. So.
My wife. Joe Bob says a little drunkenly, coming back down to the group.
Oh, Lord. I imagine Joe Bob like just drooling like Rick Sanchez sometimes. Just got like.
Yeah, he's got a pretty stiff blood alcohol level 24/7. All right. No, if I come back and they're still fucking with that door, I'm gonna go grab that. I'm gonna go grab that crowbar.
All right,
main of action.
I'm going to take a picture of his number.
Okay.
Because I'll never remember where he put it.
Okay. He heads downstairs, I guess, with Joe Bob. And as he's heading out the door, you went and grabbed something from the laundry room. From your vantage point out the windows on the third floor, you can see Griffin and Perry Salisbury pulling away down the driveway, leaving you guys here alone.
While they're doing that, after the tuning fork kind of calms down, Niels is going to grab the doorknob again.
You grab the doorknob? All right, give me another check.
All right, I like this space.
That's an 8 plus right. 2. That's a whole 10.
Okay. All right.
That's not good. Do it again.
This time the jolt is more significant. You lose 6 points of grit as the as basically your body is.
Yeah, that's
your whole body is rendered numb, and you kind of drop to a knee.
I might pass out. That's not much more than I have.
What? Why didn't you?
I reach out and help steady him. You all right there, friend?
I need to sit down.
Yeah, you go sit down.
I'll sit down in the rocking chair.
But yeah, I want to try to use the screwdriver and, like, you know, take the screws off and then use it to see if I can just, like, you know, pry whatever little pieces I need to pry to get the knob out. Yeah.
All right. You give me a brawn check.
Grit's like our hit points, right?
That's a no good. That's a 3.
Yeah, it's basically your injury avoidance pool.
Okay. So, but those don't come back, right? Once those 6 are gone, I don't get those back.
Not until you rested
up a little bit.
Yeah. What'd you get, Mahogany? Sorry.
That's a 3.
Hmm. All right. You try all the screws and you can't get them to budge even in the slightest.
Ugh.
You can't even get.
I have a question. Can I go at this using my security to disable this knob? Basically, is that what security's for?
Generally, security is for it's for getting past security systems and things like that.
Oh, okay, like alarms and whatnot.
Yeah.
Not magic doorknobs.
Joe Bob comes back with the crowbar.
All right.
Kind of shovels his way to the front, flicks his cig on the floor, and mushes it out in the carpet. And just,
oh, God.
Just pops that crowbar right. I mean, he's an old school. He was a cop before he was a sheriff. So he just pops that fucking crowbar into the right where the
door. Right at the door jam.
All right.
Pop that door jam. Go ahead.
This would require, I guess, I'll let you
brawn check.
Brawn or brawling?
Brawn.
Well, I mean,
I don't have brawling.
Okay.
He didn't fight. He shot. I've got this old puzzle box with my dice in it. I think it's appropriate for. It's got a little weird latch on it. You get to build. I think I've shown it before, but then, like, the dragon heads come open when you find the latch. And it's got the dice on the inside.
Nice.
My little Hellraiser puzzle box from my dice. Let's see. Shit'll get weird. That's a 10 total.
As he slams the crowbar and begins to heave on it, I need you, Malcolm. I don't need you to do anything. Actually, you feel like a sudden rapid like pang of migraine as the world kind of changes shape. The room stays the same, but you see that there is just a glowing lattice of spiritual energy, basically just emanating from the walls like a cracked plate. As soon as he does it,
why'd you have to roll those goddamn Hellraiser dice? It's all your fault.
Happy Halloween,
Jim Bob. But Toker, your fault.
And the main thing you can see is it looks like there is a humanoid shape, basically spread eagle, slammed against the door.
Oh, God, where did I put that crowbar on the humanoid shape?
Oh, you're trying to attack his wang doodle.
Oh, no.
The vision fades just as quickly as it comes, and you just see Joe Bob struggling with the door.
Sweating and breathing and after 2 seconds.
We'll drop to a knee with the blinding flash of headache. And there's something in that room, and there seems to be a barrier. Some kind of power field. I don't know.
Given Niels's experiments and then witnessing this and others, I mean, is there any kind of occult knowledge or anything that he may have come across in the past that may similar? Any other persons or places have had similar things like this happen?
Roll for it. Give me some occult knowledge.
Well, that's good. So I rolled 16. So that gives me. That's enough, right? Because it just has to be 16.
You begin thinking about it after Malcolm describes what he saw. And you know you've read something about protective seals being put on places of importance, of religious significance, of spiritual power, and or just protective things. And you know that those are generally like... curses and whatnot, but you know that there is a secondary kind of seal that you can put on that is a bit darker according to your readings.
Oh, I also make sure to mention the dude that's in there.
I assume.
So does it seem like there was some kind of ritual or something done or some type of sacrifice or torture?
You know that some if you want something protected very powerfully, you can use a black seal, which requires a human sacrifice to create. And uses the soul of the sacrificed to power it.
I'll relay my very, very weakly and softly as I'm trying to regain my strength. I'll relay that to the group and just after what Mal says... say that we may be, you know, we may be dealing with a dark seal on the store. Does anybody else have any experience with that?
No, I'm stubbornly still working with the crowbar. I mean, eventually it'll give. I feel like I'm too old these days. I mean, I'm 74, you know. So I'm going to keep struggling with that crowbar because it should work. It has to work. Yeah. He's a stubborn old guy.
I'll ask you to describe that again a little bit in as much detail as you can, and then can I try to do some research using my phone?
All right. Well, you continue to struggle with that. They sit down and begin putting their heads together, doing a little online research. The Wi-Fi signal here is weak but still usable.
Oh, that's why I have my van. I got a signal booster out there. If I have to go out there, I will.
I'm going to continue to help Jim Bob take down this door.
It's Joe like, Bob, well, asshole.
Sorry, Joe Bob.
All right, give me your research check. They disappear probably for about a half an hour or more just at 43 online resources.
It's a failure. 12.
Unable to find any more information, unfortunately.
Boo.
Would you like to use a lifeline?
I feel like our chance for success is pretty low.
Yeah. Well,
for now, yeah. As you guys get more powerful.
Yeah.
I'm 74.
Yeah, it's never too late to learn new skills.
When you grow up, you know.
When you get older.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a +6 to lure a cult. So that, you know, that at least gives me, I think that gives me about, I'm about a 50-50 chance on knowing something.
Yeah. How you got +6?
Probably smarts.
Oh, you add, wait, so you add something else to it as well?
Yeah, your skill plus your related stat, which...
Oh, so that would have been 15.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's a success, yeah.
That's different.
There you
Yay!
Go.
Yay!
Yeah.
We like Christina. She gets shit done.
Your research reveals that after you find the given the name to research the Black Seal by Niels, that you you find a lot of lore on not necessarily how they are created. You're guessing that's going to be difficult to find online immediately, but you do get more information about various things that practitioners warn you about on occult websites. One, the main thing they warn you to do is not to do it. Murder is illegal. Two, if you come across one, do not mess with it. If you're not the creator of the Black Seal, no one can open it besides you without a similar sacrifice. It says cryptically, but not that cryptically.
Oh, still good, Bob.
Just hit it with a little hammer. Bit
closer to that door.
Do what now?
I was gonna say just. Lean a little closer to that door. Just a little closer. Go ahead. I mean, you're the oldest among us. You've lived your life. It's been good.
Don't I'm going to hit you that. With this crowbar. Then I realize how shitty I am with it, and I pull my gun.
It's a real skill.
The only skill you need in any RPG.
Guns. I shoot the door to death.
Lockpicking, gun.
I mean, I do have lock picking, but yeah, that didn't seem to work with them, and they were good at it. And I figured crowbar, but it's asking for a sacrifice to get through the door.
Yeah, the
that's what the I guess the forums or whatever told us.
That's what the forums say. The various online resources have told her. The only other thing you find out is like a lot of people say that a lot of these kind of protections are interlinked and they fade pretty quickly.
Oh, so this might not be very old.
The source?
They fade pretty quickly unless you create a way for it to continually renew itself.
What would renew it?
So this might be the missing bodies then.
Oh, yeah.
So
I want to get re-sacrificed.
Do you have any way to you any way to download or print or anything?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
You get a lot of complicated diagrams, lists of and symbols to look out for. Like a lot of people are particularly paranoid about this particular kind of mystical seal. And basically you get a lot of things to watch out for, a list for you guys as far as scavenging goes to look for around the house.
A list of things that are gonna, what are those things gonna do?
Basically they're occult symbols that might connect back to the original enchantment.
Oh, and if we can get rid of, if we can destroy the symbols or whatever, we can maybe break the enchantment?
Basically, yes. You might be able to basically disempower the house and break the Black Seal that way.
Uh-huh, and nobody has
Did he tell us where he found the clothes? Was it all the one particular room or one particular part of the house, or was it just in different places?
Different places.
Did he indicate? I mean, he did tell us where those places were, that maybe we could look for symbols there.
The garage, one of the mid floor bedrooms. And
okay, so not necessarily all, they're not on the same floor as the store then. So
he said second floor bedroom was where the cheerleader and jock Letterman jacket were found.
Correct.
The garage had the hobo.
And the branch on the back had the, I guess, B&E guy.
Well, let's go check those places. Or symbols. And by the way, so if you wanna think of my van as the mobile lab that they had in Renegade.
That dope RV. Wait. You mean?
Yeah.
Wait, Renegade with Lorenzo Lamas?
Oh, yeah.
The only Renegade, yeah.
Oh, man, I should have had a motorcycle.
I've got that theme song in my head just from you mentioning it.
Ah, you're welcome. I've got
Where is that? That has to be streaming somewhere.
I was on Prime. I don't know if it still is, but it was.
It's probably on Fubo or whatever.
For us, Renegade.
Fubo is the TV app that I was
For us by Oddballs.
We watched a few episodes of Renegade. It's awful.
We watched over a season. It was great.
I was going to leave it at a few.
Wait. Which type of awful is it?
Just like
Texas Walker Ranger bad?
Yeah, it's that kind of bad. It's all bad, like 90s. We make 400 episodes a year. Stupid TV action with drama. It's like we're doing it all, and none of it well. Here you go.
Walker doesn't even tell you have AIDS.
Those giant satellite dishes that were on that RV.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh man.
Now that guy who drove the RV was dope.
Yeah.
The Indian guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool, long-haired guy.
Yeah, with his suits, his Power 90 suits.
Yes.
All right, so
his sister, whatever lady was.
So it's not so much a van. We need to get it upgraded to an RV, and we can.
I mean, it's a van. It's the 2020s. So all of that technology that he had that was so big that required an RV, it's a lot smaller now.
Downscale the Scooby van.
Yeah, I don't need it. Renegade giant.
All of Renegade stuff can fit in a 2-foot square in the back of an old dirty van now.
Yeah.
One of those satellites was just so a pager would work. Like that's
one for pager, one for telephone, one for I don't know what.
All right. So which area are you guys investigating after she gets back with all that stuff?
Well, we have no idea of the attack or the order of the appearance, so let's just
pick one to go for. I mean, if we're getting stuff out of the van, let's just go to the garage first.
Yep.
That's what I say.
All right.
Methodical.
Did anybody come get Joe Bob? Is he still old?
Oh, yeah. I'm there working with you. That's right.
Yeah, we came together to the info dump, and then we'll decide on where we're going.
All right. Whenever you get down to the garage, make either an awareness or occult lore check.
We'll go for awareness.
Plus 4 to awareness.
Ooh. That's tied to which skill?
Smarts for awareness.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I got it. 14.
Okay.
20.
So close. Just to say that the beautiful. All the beautiful man hair on Renegade.
That's what's painted on the side of the van. It's a guy from the van.
Yeah. Sidekick
from Renegade. Is Roger from American Dad as Renegade?
One of his wigs.
He just comes over, like, you know, he just rode over the hill, and you see him cresting the hill with the wind in his hair.
I just pictured Roger doing like a Pantene commercial.
At any rate,
I got a 19 on my awareness.
All right. So while the four of you are looking around, you two spot two different locations within the garage that are not necessarily built into the garage itself. The far wall, which is where the add-on was put in, you're guessing sometime in the 20s, has some peculiar woodwork that, once you begin investigating it, reveals itself to be painted plaster. And whenever you begin poking at the plaster or looking at the plaster, you can see that the plaster itself is like covering over a gouged in, or I guess carved in, symbol.
Hmm.
So it's difficult to tell with it and without gouging the plaster out of the grooves.
Well, anybody got an axe?
Crowbar.
It's not that big. Like a pencil would do it.
Yeah. But I don't want to, like, I feel like exposing it. I just want to destroy it. I don't want to look at the sigil or like make it visible. I just want to.
All right.
I want to chop it.
Well, there's plenty of stuff here in the garage. There's even an old 1940s Cadillac here. No tires.
No machete.
Like a claw hammer. Something like that.
Yeah, there's tools hanging on the wall. A lot of them are rusty and old.
This will work, and I pass.
Who wants to do the honors? I'm still feeling pretty weak from my experiment on the door.
You would.
You can have Niels. You can have 2 points of grit back. It's been about 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm not the strongest, but I think we should just, you know, chop it. Just.
All right. I'll go ahead and smash it with the claw into the hammer.
The claw!
Striking through the part that she found.
All right. Give me a brawn check just to...
For the hell of it.
Yeah. Ask the 125-pound guy, hey, go destroy something.
You volunteered.
Hey. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I rolled a 20.
All right.
I destroyed the hell out of that thing.
You see him dig the claw hammer into the wood and basically rip it down. You see a puff of plaster and wood splinters, and then you hear a loud slam directly behind you as both the garage doors basically slam shut.
Oh no.
Oh shit.
You hear all kinds of things going on in the house. Most of it involves slamming. As the shutters slam closed everywhere.
Boys be boys.
Well, I stayed in the van.
And then finally, you didn't stay in the van. Shut up. And finally, the last thing you feel, those of you who are sensitive, particularly you, Malcolm. Actually, it's mostly just you, Malcolm. You feel a shudder rumble through your stomach as a powerful supernatural aura basically rears up like a snake is the only way to really think of it. Something, it's like the whole house has been poked and is not happy about it. And next time we'll contend with that. Thanks for playing tonight, guys. We'll finish it up next time and check our links, yada yada, etc.
Sounds good. I like it.
Thank you.
A ghost snake.
Ghost snake.
Anaconda 2. Anaconda number 2.
That's it. I'm done.
Oh, okay.